much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
When you're ready to launch out into the unknown, possibly the best place to begin is in a nursing home or a care center for the elderly. One reason is simply this. The elderly really receive you quite well. I think it's because they already know how vulnerable they are. They're lonely, and they long for touch. So as clowns, we take seriously what Jesus said in Matthew 25. I'll put this in my own words.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'm like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that. And like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
God damn it!
Sometimes I just love to chill and watch TV. Yeah. You know, like that. Like I get so excited. Does anybody else like get excited just to get in bed and get warm and fuzzy with your blankie? And yeah.
I loathe you in ways that are unquantifiable.
And now,
hey man, where are you going? You're missing the best part.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that might actually be the best part of today's Kevin and Bean Show, but welcome on in to yet another one. It is a Wednesday morning. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Bean. How are they?
They are fine, thank you.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Little turnaround. Very nice. Lisa, you and I must be the only people who work here at K-Rock who were not at the Nine Inch Nails show last night at the Troubadour.
Yeah, that is for sure. That's the only people who were at that show were people who work here at K-Rock.
Seemed like it, although we did give away a fair amount of tickets over the last week. But if you were looking at my Twitter feed last night, or probably yours too, there was Kat Corbett, and there was Nicole Alvarez, and mm-hmm. there was Stryker, and there was Dave, and there was Chip. Yeah. Did I see Beer Mug? You were there, right?
Yeah, I was there.
Did I see the monkey was there too?
No, he wasn't there.
He was just Bogart and someone else's photo.
Yes, exactly.
How was the show, Beer Mug?
Oh my God! First off, companies need to start giving employees days off after shows like this,
right?
Special shows like this. Yeah. When Nine Inch Nails plays the Troubadour, not only were there awesome listeners there and everybody from the station, but I saw Tony Hawk, Tony Canal, Dave Quackenbush from the Vandals. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Well, you just named the biggest celebrities in the world.
Yeah. People came out for this show. It was crazy.
Wait, so you're telling me that Nine Inch Nails, one of the biggest rock bands in the world, played the Troubadour and that people came out for it?
Can you believe that?
That is shocking.
It's insane.
How was the set list?
Set list was amazing. I found a little spot by the bar, so I watched the whole show in air conditioning while everybody was packed in like sardines, sweating bullets.
Yeah.
And he played for about like an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big show.
And Trent was sweating as well, a lot.
How's the new album sound?
You know, they play the new song, and then I got drunk, so I don't really remember.
He was right by the bar, Bean.
Yeah, I was.
He was
that's
right.
Might have,
by the
that
bar.
Might have been a mistake in planning. Yeah.
So, but I mean, the sound is amazing at the Troubadour, and everything was awesome.
Well, I know he's. I guess he's already sold out for Staples Center in November, but
oh,
he'll.
Sure.
If you ever have the chance to see Nine Inch Nails, do it.
Yeah, and it was great. Somebody was telling me, you know, I can't wait to see them at Staples because, I mean, it'll be the Troubadour show just with tons more lights and just effects and everything. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool.
And hopefully less beer mug.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. What are you talking about? I'll be there.
Just saying. All right, let me get to this story just because we have the time and I love it so much. This is a woman who lives in Britain. Her name is Claire Lennon. She lives in Berkshire, and she's got a pet chicken, you know, like we do.
Sure.
And she's playing with her pet chicken. Her pet chicken is sitting on her shoulder the other day, and somehow pecks one of her earrings out of her ear and swallows it.
Ooh.
So boyfriend Adam, did the natural thing, which is they put Sarah, their chicken, in a cage for a couple of days, you know, waiting for this earring to pass, searching the floor, looking for the earring to pass. Well, didn't happen, so they took the chicken to the vet, and they said, well, it's apparently stuck in – they did an x-ray and said it's stuck in the gizzard of this chicken. So it's not in the stomach. It's not going to pass. So we can cut the chicken open, but Sarah's not going to survive that surgery.
But it, And can Sarah survive with the earring in her gizzard?
Yes, Sarah can survive with the earring, exactly. So this couple has made the decision. This is a diamond earring, by the way, that's worth about $600. Mm-hmm. They made the decision that they're just going to wait until Sarah's dead, which could be up to 8 years.
Would you not do the same thing?
I would do exactly the same thing.
So would I, but yeah. I'm impressed with them.
Yeah, so they're going to wait. So she's got this one earring. It was a you know, a gift for a special occasion from her boyfriend. And she's just going to wait out Sarah. She says their little girl, Mia, who's, I think, six, loves the chicken so much, would be heartbroken also. There's no, you know, it was not even really a consideration that they were going to operate and risk the chicken's life. But they've had the chicken since, you know, since he was a chick, since he was a baby.
Yeah.
So they're just going to wait out 8 years. Now, apparently they said, if I can find this, apparently they said that the setting around the earring will disintegrate with whatever juices or whatever are going through the gizzard, but that the diamond is going to be fine. Here it is. The vet said over the weeks and months, the platinum white gold would disintegrate and be ground down by the grit and stuff that hens eat to aid their digestion. But the diamond is so hard, it will not be damaged and will just stay there until Sarah dies. And then, of course, they can get it back.
Yeah, but can't they get, just give the chicken X-lax or something to speed the process along?
Well, the problem is that it's stuck. It's lodged in the gizzard. That's what they found out in the X-ray, is that it's not going anywhere.
Ooh.
Now, I suppose theoretically, it's possible they should probably keep an eye on the barnyard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Just in case. But it is thought at this point that it's just stuck.
Huh.
So I just thought that was interesting. I don't know how many people would have the patience to wait up to 8 years to get their earring back, but I'm with Lisa on that. I'm glad that's the decision.
I am
made.
Too. Now, I would take the other earring and make it a necklace because the other one is going to have to be redone anyway. So at least you get to wear half of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or, yeah, I guess because you just don't want to wear the one. You're not a freaking pirate, right?
Yes.
All right. So there's the update. Maybe we'll hear more as that passes, as it were.
As
Let's
it
talk
passes,
about
yes.
today's all-new Kevin to Beach here, shall we?
Color me M press.
Well, you're not going to be impressed when you hear about this. But we do have some highlights, because we didn't have time to get to it yesterday, of the James Franco roast on Comedy Central, which had so many great people on it. Our friend Nick Kroll was on there, Aziz Ansari, Seth Rogen, Sarah Silverman, great Jonah Hill, great lineup of comedians on Comedy Central. So we got some highlights of that for you. We mentioned it yesterday. Today we're going to be taking your calls of your parents made a sex tape.
Oh, that's just bad.
It was revealed on Keeping Up with the Kardashians this weekend that Kris and Bruce Jenner made a sex tape. And I don't know why you would ever share that with your children, but they did. And it just got me thinking all sorts of awful things. I would rather my parents be dead than tell me that they made a sex tape.
Well, and you know, depending on how old you are, like if you're only 18, there's a good chance your parents made a sex tape.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're 40, probably not.
Yeah, because if you're 18, your parents came of age with, you know, easy recordable devices.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's probably out there, people. That's what I'm saying.
What a terrifying thought. Adam Carolla on the program today. The beautiful actress Charisma Carpenter will be here in studio with us today. And one of the craziest tapes I've ever seen. Usually we would hang on to this for the Internet Roundup, but we can't wait another day. We have to share it with you today. This woman shows up at a McDonald's, and she wants her chicken McNuggets like no one has ever wanted chicken McNuggets. She tried to come through the drive-thru window to get chicken McNuggets is how much she wanted chicken McNuggets.
Sometimes you have a craving.
Yeah, apparently you do.
You must be satisfied.
So we got that tape for you. And also, how much money is David Bowie being offered to go on tour? It will blow your mind. I don't know how you sit back and say no when they keep piling on the millions of dollars. In some cases, to just do one show. It's an amazing story. We'll talk about that too. Plus, Ralph's got all the other showbiz news coming up next right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Stand by the chicken.
They're food.
You're wrong.
Hi.
Oh,
don't make me
don't
separate
anything.
You. Don't make me pull this car over.
It's a chicken.
Ralph, it's their pet. They love Sarah.
You know what? You go out and get another chicken.
You don't kill your pet just because they swallowed something. That's
something.
Not going to hurt
them.
It's
not a paperclip.
It's a $600 diamond.
That's
still going to be there when the chicken dies in 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
How much is the chicken worth? What can you buy a chicken for?
Chicken is priceless.
$1.50 at the farmer's market
just
when they
like
sell those chicks at Easter.
But that's like saying how much is a dog worth?
No, it's very different.
You
it's
get a
not.
Dog,
it's a chicken.
Chicken's a personality.
Okay, if you can teach a chicken to poop outside and to fetch me something, then I will let it live. But until then, I'm still just going and pooping all over the house. Then it's dinner.
You may not be the right person to own a pet chicken.
Pet chicken. It's an oxymoron.
Not all pets are the same, Ralph.
Some are good and some are chickens.
I couldn't house train my cows, but I love them every bit as much as I love my dogs.
They should be beef. Right.
No, they shouldn't be beef.
Yes. They live livestock. They're not pets. Just because you decide to call something a pet doesn't automatically make it a pet.
It actually does make it a pet.
It actually was a pet. They behaved as pets.
But that's the definition of pet.
They sleep at the base of your bed and, you know. You can't let your cow in the house.
They
run back and forth across the field, and you threw a ball, it would catch it for you.
You have a narrow view of pets if they all can only be pets if they're dogs.
Well, we all know what pets are. Look, don't try to say, no, geez, you know, a great shark can be a pet. No, just because you can keep an animal doesn't mean, obviously, that it's a pet. Of course, you can keep any sort of animal. You can have a tiger in your house. You can have an elephant. You can have an earthworm. There's all kinds of things you can just own, but it doesn't make them pets. We know what pets are.
How was my cow not a pet? He's somebody that I took care of every day, that I played with, that was excited to see me, that licked my whole face. Yes, absolutely. We played ball. I did lots of stuff with my cow.
Well, how did you play ball with your cow?
Because I would throw the jolly ball, and he would go out and move it around with his nose.
Oh, he would touch the ball. That's playing ball?
Yeah, we were definitely playing. He was running around. We had a lot of fun together.
It's madness.
You're a bad person.
We've turned the corner.
You're an against-er. Why are you an against-er, Ralph?
The corner.
You shouldn't be surprised.
It's a chicken. It's a chicken, and there's a diamond inside of it. The diamond wins.
Exactly. Well, let's see what else you could be wrong about here on the show. On the Kevin DeBean Show.
I would be enjoying a delicious fried chicken dinner with my diamond back in my ear. That's how that party would
so
end.
So you would kill and eat your pet in front of your little 6-year-old daughter who grew up with this animal.
No, you go down to the chicken store and you pick up another chicken because they're identical and she would never know the difference. She's six.
Hope Reggie doesn't swallow anything.
Let's go, people. Come on. Wake up. Wake up, people. Come on. It's important things to deal with out here. I'm not saving chickens. For God's sakes. I have to do all the heavy lifting around here myself. All right, let me give you some things. How about passes to the premiere of The Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D? In case you couldn't hear me. In IMAX 3D. It's happening September the 15th at the TCL Chinese Theater. Movie will be in theaters for a one-week limited engagement in the IMAX and 3D theaters. But this is your chance to see it for anybody else. Friday, September the 20th. Movies in theaters. The 15th is when you will see it. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Six lucky winners who get through that number will win tickets to The Wizard of Oz and IMAX 3D. I bet that's an impressive print they've got up there on that big screen in 3D and IMAX. I've seen The Wizard of Oz about, I don't know, 50 times in my life, but it may be time to check out the new version.
I saw it for the first time ever about 2 years ago.
Well, you and your cow probably went and had a great time. He went out and got the popcorn and brought it back to the seat. Lamar Odom's drug dealer is spilling details about his addiction to RadarOnline.com.
It was just a matter of time.
Yeah. Gossip site reports.
That was one of the questions we were asking at the time about how he could keep this a secret for 2 years, is how does somebody sell drugs to Lamar Odom, a famous person, and we don't know about it. It seems like everybody sells every story these days.
Yeah, but you don't sell the story.
It's illegal, so you're ratting on yourself.
Right.
That's probably why you don't say much.
Anymore or anything, but you don't want to cut off your supply of customers.
Good point.
Why would you rat out your customer if he's still a customer in good standing and he's bringing you lots of money every week?
So how did it happen? How is it revealed?
Well, Lamar apparently has stopped, or at least has gone elsewhere, because this guy claims his client is a really nice guy who just happens to have a soft spot for cocaine. We can all relate to that. Word is, he has spent approximately, according to this dealer's estimation, $50,000 on coke over the last 3 years. That's not that much. But he smoked 50 grand of it. $16,000 of it in one shot last February.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Ralph's adding it. That's not that much.
Being the 3 years, $50,000.
Oh, what's that?
That's not a problem. Despite being a great customer, the entrepreneur says that he hopes Lamar gets help. and worries that he could lose his life. Rumors have been swirling for months that Lamar's also nursing a pill problem. And engaging in extramarital affairs. Well, that we can understand.
Yeah, look at his wife.
Speaking of the Kardashians, Kim says she wants to appear in Playboy again.
I'm down with that.
Why? What could she possibly have to show you that you haven't seen already that could be any better than she looked in 2007 when she did her layout?
Well, but that's true of any beautiful woman, is just because you've seen them naked once doesn't mean you don't want to see them naked again.
But you want to see another Playboy shoot of a woman who has shown you everything? If you've seen have sex on camera, you need to see another
Look,
nude photo shoot of her?
Would I rather she did Hustler? Absolutely. But I'll take a Playboy, sure.
That wasn't my point at all.
Oh, I'm sorry,
we don't need
was.
To see her in any state of disarray. We've seen all there is to see. We've seen her engaging in everything sexual that she can engage. And we've seen her naked in 2007 in Playboy. We've done that. There's no need. We're good. And then she gets more attention again because you're going to go see her in Playboy again.
Right.
You're falling into the trap.
I do hate for her to be happy. That is true. I want to see her naked, but I want to see her naked and sad.
Send your cow out to the newsstand and have him pick up the magazine for you and bring it back. And Amanda Bynes, it's a good thing she is wealthy, because getting treated for a serious mental illness is not cheap. Fascinating story out of TMZ yesterday about how she is dropping $3,500 a day for treatment at the UCLA Medical Center. So if you stay for 60 days, a little quick math, that's over $200,000.
Oh, my God.
Now, she is a member of the Screen Actors Guild, which covers some of that with her insurance, but it's just a small portion in comparison to the rest of it. So she better get smart quick. She better really get her act together, because she's going to be broke in about a year if this keeps up.
Yeah.
Sad news when you have to spend that much money to get treated for mental illness.
What's really sad is if you don't have insurance.
Most mentally ill people don't have insurance and or money.
And don't get treated.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dr. Drew Pinsky celebrates his birthday today. How about Dr. Drew's birthday? He's 55 years old today. Singer, director, friend of the show, Liam Lynch, is 43 years old today. We have to get some shoes up. Or not shoes. What was his thing? The United States of whatever? Wasn't that his
That's song? Right. That's yeah. right. Yeah, I'd love to hear some of that today.
Actor Wes Bentley is 35 years old today. He would have been a good Batman, that Wes Bentley.
Yeah.
Max Greenfield. From New Girl, 34 years old. Beyonce's 32. Whitney Cummings is 31. Yeah, okay. I'll give you the bell for Whitney.
Yeah.
I know you hate her so much.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to do a little...
Like your mind is fighting with your penis right now because you hate her so much. She's very pretty.
Yeah, I got to give you that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, it's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, where all this week we are hooking you up with a brand-new Xbox 360. Plus, everyone who wins gets a chance to be qualified to play a game with Linkin Park called Recharge. This is their new Xbox game at a secret party at Venice Beach with the band. You win the Xbox 360. You qualify to meet and play with Linkin Park at 9:10 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. That's all week long on K-Rock. Get your details at krock.com. Let me tell you who we haven't seen on stage in over 10 years, unless you were lucky enough to be at an Alicia Keys concert in 2006 where he popped on stage for a surprise performance. David Bowie has not toured since 2004.
Wow.
He's essentially retired. He shocked everybody by releasing a new album with no promotion ahead of time, just out of the blue. One day, a brand new David Bowie album showed up earlier this year called The Next Day that got great reviews, sold very, very well, and that has just whetted the appetite for people to get this man on the stage. He's been making music for 50 years now, hasn't toured in over 10 years, and he is being thrown millions of dollars, Lisa, to do even one show. And so far, he says no.
He doesn't need the money, right?
He doesn't need the money.
Absolutely
exactly.
not. He I stays guess he at home. Not enjoy it.
He stays at home with his hundreds of millions of dollars and his supermodel wife,
right.
And he just says, "Why would I want to go out there and sing Young Americans again?"
It's hard to argue.
Live Nation has offered him a multi-million-pound offer for him to play Olympic Park in East London. AEG is offering a similar amount to play Hyde Park next year.
Is that like one performance?
Yes.
What is multi-million?
Yes. I don't know what's going on with David Bowie, but it seems like at some point you just say, how can I not do it? But we asked producer Dave, could he line up the Thin White Duke? And I believe we've got him on the phone with us right now. David Bowie, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
There we go.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, okay. Kevin and Bean.
Established. Thank you, David.
It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Let's move on, could we? Thank you. Hey, David Bowie. So what's the, I forget. I always have to just limit my questions to just a few because of how long it takes you to answer. What's the deal with you not wanting to perform live?
I don't want to perform live. I don't want to perform live. I don't want to perform
right.
live.
Asked and answered, yes.
I'm not interested in performing live.
Yes, I see that. Okay, can you tell us why? Why not?
What's wrong with your throat, Bean? Why do you go? What's wrong with your throat, Bean? Do you need a lozenge?
No, I'm fine, Mr. Bowie. I'm trying to get to the crux of the matter here. Why is it you keep declining the offers to perform live, even though you're offering so much money, and there are so many people around the world who are dying to see you in concert because you're such a legend?
I really don't need the cash. I really don't need the cash. I really don't need the cash. I'm independently wealthy.
So you're suggesting that you don't need the cash?
I think you've got my point right. I'd rather stay here at home. I lay around in my pajamas with all my pet llamas.
Your parents made a sex tape. We want to hear about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, Charisma Carpenter is going to be in the studio. She has a fascinating new show called Surviving Evil that's debuting tonight that we want to tell you about. And Adam Carolla on the program as well. Anyone catch the James Franco roast on Comedy Central?
I did not, because I always think the clips are better.
Why watch the whole 2 hours when you could just have Bean bring you in clips from the show? That's
exactly
what you're saying. Huge numbers, by the way. It was on Labor Day. $3.1 million viewers for the Comedy Central roast on Monday night, which is huge, huge for cable, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't big,
for sure.
Big money, right? Great cast this year. Nick Kroll was on there. Jonah Hill, Sarah Silverman, Natasha Leggero, Aziz Ansari. Of course, they were roasting James Franco, who was kind of a surprise roastee for me just because he's so young. I always think about these roasts as being older people, like, you know, Roseanne Barr they did last year, and Pam Anderson and Hugh Hefner and people like that who have been around for a real long time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't James Franco seem kind of young for a roast?
It does. It seems like an odd choice, although there's plenty to poke fun at.
Yes, there certainly is. I still can't figure this guy out. I guess it's because he tries so many things. I mean, I think he's a really good actor, but I got to be honest. Maybe I'm dumb. I don't get a lot of the other stuff that he does. A lot of these books and exhibits and paintings
right.
and installations and stuff. He may be too deep for me. But he has some very funny friends, and one of the great things about these Comedy Central roasts is they don't just roast the honoree. They roast everybody on the dais. For instance, here's Jonah Hill talking about Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, good friend of mine. Right? He was brilliant on SNL. He was brilliant. And when he left the show this year, every single person was like, what are you doing? You're never, ever going to work again. Like, ever. And what does my man Bill do? Boom! He goes ahead and books himself a T-Mobile commercial. Who's laughing now, Lorne Michaels? My man Bill is. I mean, this guy's cashing checks from the fourth largest mobile provider in the nation. And look, now look, I respect Bill because Sprint was coming after him hard. But he just held out for that T-Mobile money.
By the way, Jonah Hill was very funny, and a lot of people really enjoyed making fun of Jonah. What's the deal? I love Jonah, and we have him on the show quite frequently. But what's going on with his up and down weight? He seems to be pretty up right now.
Yeah. Well, I just think he's one of those people that's going to be fighting it forever. And I swear to God, if you're in a movie at a crafts table, you're done.
Yeah,
I just don't know how you do it.
I guess so. Well, Sarah Silverman had plenty to say about Jonah Hill.
Right before the show started, Seth rolled a gigantic fatty because that was the only way we could get Jonah Hill onto the stage. Jonah actually gained 50 pounds for his role in the new Martin Scorsese film because the producers wanted the character to be a Jonah Hill type. But he slimmed down a lot last year. But what Jonah lost in weight, he gained in weight. Jonah, on a scale from 1 to 10, do you own a scale?
Sarah was great. It looked so pretty, too, by the way. Of course, talking about Seth Rogen there, he was the he's the host of the roast of James Franco on Comedy Central. And here's Nick Kroll talking about Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen is so f***ing Jewish. Anyway, I'm excited to be here tonight. Seth, you're doing a really good job up there. It's not an easy job. Now, many of you might not know this, but Seth Rogen has a writing and directing partner named Evan Goldberg. What does this other guy look like that you're the face of the operation?
Now let's turn on to some of the jokes about the honoree, James Franco. Again, Nick Kroll.
James, honestly, what happened with you and Hathaway? What happened with you and Anne Hathaway? Did you bone her out? You know what? You're a gentleman. You don't have to answer that. Just squint once if yes. Quick reminder that if at any point tonight James fully opens his eyes, there will be 6 more weeks of summer.
Now, that's another good point. What is the deal with James Franco? Is he perpetually stoned, or does he just look that way because he can't open his eyes?
I pick A.
I don't know. It is weird, though. Doesn't he always look like he's super faded?
Yes.
And I know that, you know, I think of him that way because of Pineapple Express and other movies, but it's just, even sitting there, he just looked like, he just was laughing like a stoner. Well, fellow stoner Seth Rogen, here he is with the guest of honor, James Franco.
We're here tonight so James can live out one of his unfulfilled sexual fantasies, to have a room full of his friends all over him. Franco, you look like you're asleep. Did you just read a James Franco book? Anyway, look at me doing all the talking while you sit there doing nothing. I feel like I'm co-hosting the Oscars with you.
There's a little bit of controversy over this Comedy Central roast of James Franco because for whatever reason, they decided, is there some question about James Franco's sexuality? Is he like an all-for-one, one-for-all kind of guy? Because a lot of people felt it necessary to make gay jokes about James Franco.
I don't know, but he is very open-minded about everything, so maybe just, there's that as well.
It's weird, though, and I guess this is just kind of the evolution of humor, but it doesn't seem funny to me to make a gay joke about somebody. Like, I don't understand why that's a joke anymore.
Yeah.
Because a gay person is just a gay person.
Right.
And one right after another got up and made gay jokes. And Aziz Ansari kind of put the brakes on that a little bit. And I thought did it really, really well with this remark.
So many gay jokes tonight. Wow. So many gay jokes about Franco. Apparently, if you're clean, well-dressed, and mildly cultured, you're super gay now. Is that why the rest of you guys are so aggressively fat and dirty? You think if you read one book and take a shower, they're just going to fly into your face?
Aziz was great,
that
too.
That is funny.
Well, finally, at the end of the 2 hours, James Franco gets up, and he has the opportunity to do a little bit of a rebuttal. And I don't know how successful it was, but he, for such a great actor, and I think he has been great in 127 mm-hmm. hours, he was terrific in Milk. Why can't he just approach doing stand-up comedy on a roast like a role and be good at it? Doesn't it seem like an actor should be able to pretend to be a stand-up comedian for 5 minutes?
Yes, but, you know, there's timing when you're doing humor.
But
he's been funny in movies.
You're
I don't know.
Academy Award-winning actor. It seems like you ought to be able to deliver. I don't know.
Just too stoned. Being.
Maybe he's just too stoned, but here he is.
Now you say, you don't understand my movies? Well, I don't understand my movies. In Oz, I was followed around the whole time by an excitable little monkey dressed like a bellboy. Why was he dressed like a bellboy? Well, what am I asking you for? Aziz, why were you dressed like a bellboy?
Like Aziz had anything to do with that. I mean, he was the guy who did the voice of that character in the movie, right?
Yeah.
But just even the delivery is just so weird.
Actually, he didn't do the voice.
He didn't. Was he in the movie? I didn't see
that. No, I think he's just saying that Aziz looks like a monkey.
Oh, that's what he's trying to say? Because Aziz was in that movie, I thought.
But he didn't do the voice of the monkey. Zach Braff did, yeah.
This one a little more successful, I think.
All right, so you guys think I'm pretentious. Well, James Franco addressed James Franco being pretentious in his book, James Franco.
That I think was pretty funny. Anyway, a lot of great people. Some others that we didn't highlights of Natasha Leggero and some others were very, very funny. But they're going to be rerunning this roast. If that has whetted your appetite and you would like some more, you can find that on Comedy Central. Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and we'll be right back after this on the World Famous K-Rock. We're going to talk to you about your parents' sex tape coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBede Show. If you ever found out that your parents had a sex tape or found your parents' sex tape, stumbled upon it, or maybe even worst of all, walked in while your parents were making a sex tape.
Stop it.
We want to hear your stories coming up right after the top of the hour. You can call us at 1-800-520-106. Look, you sound like Kevin now, Ralph. Adults have sex.
Adults, even if fine.
If they're your parents, they're still sexual beings. They're still adults. They don't stop just because they have kids.
Fine. But there is a line of demarcation. There is a wall there that has to exist between you and your parents' sexuality. Those two things should never cross. Should be no awareness of it. Should be no recognition of it. There should be certainly no watching it or viewing it or walking in on it. It's just fine. It happens. It needs to happen over there. Just do that there. I don't need to know anything about it. It's like hot dogs. I like hot dogs, but I don't want to know how the hot dogs are made.
Wait, aren't we supposed to sell our sausages somewhere else?
Yeah, that's what you need to do right now. Sell your sausage somewhere else.
All right, well, we'll talk about specifically Ralph's parents and their sex tape coming up right after the top of there, because I'm sure they have a lot of, probably making one right now.
Yeah.
First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Let's get right to it, because I know what you've been waiting for. So I wanted to get this story out to people this morning on their way to work or school, because I knew this was the most hotly anticipated showbiz story of the year. We now know he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yay! Thank God.
Lineup for the 17th season was announced this morning.
Is Diddy going to be on it?
Yes, Bean. 74-year-old beloved TV actress Valerie Harper will be Dancing with the Stars this season.
The whole season, or?
Don't be so creepy. Leah Remini.
Huh. Okay.
As promised, we'll be Dancing with the Stars. I've always had a big crush on Leah Remini. Less so once I found out about the whole Scientology thing. But now more so now that she's left Scientology.
Yeah. She's pretty. Yeah, because she can probably do anything now. She can get freaky now that she doesn't have Xenu looking over her. She's very pretty, very funny. Yes. Got a great body.
Yes, and very sort of earthy and like ballsy. Yeah. And she's like a broad, you know?
I'm with you.
She's like a guy's gal. Seems like she'd be a good time. So
let's try to get her on.
I'm all about that.
They do publicity sometimes for this dancing show. That'd be our excuse to get her on.
The only thing about King of Queens I could ever stomach was Leah Remini. I'd watch her for a little bit, then I'd have to run away, and then I'd come back in little doses. Also appearing on Dancing with the Stars, as promised, Snooki.
Oh boy,
your Snooki. Showgirls and Saved by the Bell star Elizabeth Berkley.
Okay.
Glee star Amber Riley.
She's got to be the favorite to win, right?
Little Precious?
Yes.
Dude.
All the dancing and choreography she's been doing for 4 years on Glee?
Still, it's a lot of girl to lug around the dance floor when you're doing the Paso Doble. She's a Paso Doble.
Betty?
We've seen a long history on that show of those kinds of people who were in, you know, boy bands or, you know, Zendaya from that Disney show last year. I mean, they get a lot of practice doing that sort of thing.
All right, before you start calling who's going to win, why don't you wait for the rest of the cast members,
all right?
How about singer Christina Milian? She dances a lot in her videos and whatnot.
I got no problem with her either.
How about Jack Osborne? Groover and a mover.
Now, what's his?
He's got grace and style.
What's his disease? He's got some
MS, I think.
Is that what it is? Yeah. MS. Is this Dancing with the Stars or is this the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon? What's happening?
So evil. High School Musical star Corbin Blue will also be in the lineup.
Who hasn't worked since High School Musical? I don't think
since the senior year. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah,
will be dancing. Yes.
He won't be any good, but he can tell us all about the friction of our foot on the dance floor as we move across and why we're able to glide so nicely.
He's going to talk about that goddamn global warming again, isn't he?
Comedian Bill Engvall of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
Pretty Little Liars star Brant Daugherty. He or she is very, very popular. And former NFL star Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn!
Wow.
Number 17 on the field, number one in your heart, Keyshawn Johnson. He was the one who tried to beat up Bieber up in Calabasas.
Just for that.
I'm all for him. The show will premiere on September the 16th and will air only once a week as opposed to two times per week like last season. So,
well, that's smart.
It is smart because I think people are getting a little tired in the Dance with the Stars, too. Yeah.
That's a pretty decent lineup, I think.
Do you?
I do. It's got a lot of variety in it.
There's not really any star.
No, there's not big stars, no. But it does have enough different sorts of people that I'm interested to see how it all comes together. I won't watch, don't get me wrong. I'm not excited enough to watch it. I'm just saying, it's not a bad lineup.
Well, I'm Team Remini.
I'm Team Little Precious.
Speaking of Leah Remini, she's going to make her first post-Scientology TV interview appearance. Who got the big get? Well, that'd be Ellen DeGeneres.
When's this?
This will appear on September the 9th. Okay. On the premiere of the Ellen DeGeneres Show for this season. So what's that?
Monday.
Yeah. Monday, yeah. According to Hollywood Reporter, Leah will be on, and by all accounts, she's going to talk very openly about her affiliation with Scientology. So this should be interesting.
Yes.
Especially, I'm going to enjoy watching for the little red dot, the little laser dot that's going to appear on her forehead at some point during the interview, and then just pink mist.
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
Congratulations. So, I'm sorry, Bean. Yes.
I was just wondering. I mean, they're really going to she's going to do that in public in the regular Ellen studio. They're not taping it in a bunker, an undisclosed location or something like that ahead of time.
It's really black out her face and disguise her voice.
Well, I mean, I know.
It sounds like we're exaggerating, but I would be fearful of what might happen, depending on how much she says.
But I think this is genius. The more public she gets, the more exposed she gets, the less she'll be able to be targeted.
Yeah.
Because anything hinky that happens will obviously will be attributed to the Scientologists. And congratulations to Vanity Fair magazine. Their 100-year issue is being released this week. It's been a magazine for 100 years.
It's amazing.
To celebrate, they're putting a Somebody Special on the cover. Any guesses, Lisa? Any guess?
Sarah Abramson?
I'm guessing Bean already knows because he's creepy. Who would be on the cover? That's
I would say like a Nicole Kidman or...
Kate Upton.
Oh, Kate Upton.
Will be scantily clad with her cleavage on full display.
Not really a typical Vanity Fair model.
Holds a birthday cake.
Yeah, okay,
begging
we got
someone
it.
Someone to blow out the candle. She will be on the cover. She looks great. She's done up in like an old school 50s swimsuit with her glamour hair. Okay, all right, we got it. Right now, some bellboy is just running around his house, very panicked. And it looks like the 50 Shades of Grey people are not happy with the casting. Big backlash from the fans of that book who put down their vibrators long enough to complain online via Twitter.
Is it both the cast members?
Both the cast members, like? Lisa. Mm. In fact, they've started various petitions on change.org to have these actors removed from their roles. 15,000 signatures on one petition alone. That demands white collars Matt Bomer and Alexis Bledel of Gilmore Girls to play the roles. Other favorites from the fans include Henry Cavill, of course, from Man of Steel, Ian Somerhalder, and for the female role, Lucy Hale, Ashley Green, Emma Watson, and Emilia Clarke were also mentioned by the fans.
But if
they're
any...
not happy with Dakota Johnson and Charlie Hunnam.
Any combination of those other actors and actresses that had been cast, you would have just as many 50 Shades of Grey fans who wouldn't like them and would want those changed.
I don't know.
You can't make them all happy.
Matt Bomer's name has been on the lips of fans of that book for a year now.
Yeah, he'd be great.
They were really,
it's
really...
just, would they do it?
They were really, really pulling. That's the thing. You have to find an actor who's willing to pretty much just roll around naked for an entire film, and some people may not want to take that step with their career. That's why I turned it down. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Nayla of the Lumineers is 27 years old today. She can play like 140 instruments, that girl. Very talented. Whitney Cummings is 31. Beyoncé celebrates her 32nd birthday. Max Greenfield of New Girl is 34. Wes Bentley, 35 years old. Drew Pinsky, radio host, TV host. He's got that HLN show. He's right. Got a CNN show. He's got a OWN show. He's got a TNN show. He's got a TBS show. He's got
any rural
any
network,
initials, anything with initials. He's on the network.
And all those teen mom kids too. He's got
right.
Running
he
around
impregnates
all over
a lot of teenagers.
Right.
And once in a while, I heard he does some doctoring too.
Down that's
there
an hour
the,
a week
down there by the cement pond. He is 55 years old and singer, director. Friend of the show, Liam Lynch, our favorite, one of our favorites, Liam Lynch, is 43 years old.
So later, I'm at the pool hall, and this girl comes up, and she's all like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because this is my United States of whatever.
There's our boy.
He is 43 years old today. You know, we have to get on the next hour, a little, yeah, right, not now, not never. We got to put that together. That was Liam also. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's another one of the best live bands on the road today. If you ever get the chance to see Imagine Dragons, I saw some of their set from that, I think they were at the Made in Philadelphia Festival over the weekend. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They're just, they're so, well, you saw with the Weenie Roast.
Yes.
They're so great. And they have so many good songs. I just love that band so much. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. Talking parental sex tapes right now. It's an unfortunate topic that needs to be discussed because it's in the news thanks to the Kardashians. We want to hear from you if you have any experience with parents and sex tapes. Like we said a few minutes ago, if you uncovered one, if you just found out about it in casual conversation, we want to hear how it sits with you and how that went down. God forbid you walked in on them while they were making the sex tape. That's the worst of all possible scenarios, right?
But number two is just turning on the TV and the DVD player and seeing
yes.
something. Oh, my God.
And by the way, you know that that has to happen because
yes.
you know as much as you try, you forget sometimes to put stuff away properly or to erase something properly. And I guarantee there are people who have – maybe they just thought it was regular porn, which would have been bad enough. But then when they start to recognize the people in the porn as their parents, I can't even imagine. And do you ever tell your parents that
oh,
you've seen it?
Oh, God, no. No.
You just pretend
you
it didn't happen,
it.
Right?
No. Not ever.
Well, we want to hear your calls on this topic, please, at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. 1067. Tell us about you and your parents' sex tape, how you found out about it, how that conversation went, what happened next. I mentioned the Kardashians. Here's why this is in the news. This was either this past Sunday night or this was in a teaser promo for an upcoming episode. But I don't know how much of this is in the tape, but basically the family is sitting around the table like they do. And they're giving some advice to Khloe, who has been taking some boudoir, as they say, photos for her husband, Lamar Odom. She won't be taking any more of those anytime soon, by
nope.
the way. And Bruce is cautioning, hey, you know, this family has a history of stuff like that getting out. And that's when the bombshell is revealed at the table about the sex tape between Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner.
Bruce and I did a video.
What kind of video?
Exercise video. Honey.
No. Bruce and I made a sex tape.
Well, it wasn't quite a sex tape.
It was
buddy.
A sex tape.
The way he said that.
What did you guys do in it?
Are we talking multiple positions?
But we yeah, erased but it immediately.
How do you guys know you erased it?
I don't know.
Whose idea was it?
Obviously your mother's.
Mine.
Because she's okay. so hot.
Listen to how mortified Bruce is, how quickly he tries to change the subject. He immediately tries to say, no, it was an exercise video. Then he immediately tries to volunteer that it has been erased. Kris Jenner brought it up, by the way, for no reason. There's no reason why she had to add that to the conversation.
She did it because there's a camera rolling and she wants attention. That's why she did it.
And by the way, this is also an excellent point. Who else is at the table but the teenagers, the young
yeah.
children, the 16 and 17, I think they are, year-old children of Kris and Bruce Jenner. Now,
bitch got no class.
Why would you ever talk about their half-sister Khloe's naked photos at the dinner table? And then a step further, why would mom – how horrified would you be, Lisa, if you were out to dinner and your mom volunteered at a family meal – yeah, your father and I made a sex tape.
But my family is not the Kardashians, because if I were those kids, I would already know that my older half-sister is famous for a sex tape.
Right.
So
right.
That's yeah. just that is just their dinner conversation.
I guess so, but I can't, I guess you're right. I'll never understand the look at me that Kris Jenner has about I need people to always be talking right. about me. But nobody, Kris Jenner, wants to picture you having sex.
Not
nobody.
Ever, no.
And the fact that you bring that up at the dinner table in front of your 16-year-old daughter, what's going on? I mean, I guess I should be happy because she's ensuring that 2 years from now, Kylie and whatever the other one's name, Kendall, are going to be making their own sex tapes because that's the family business
right?
now.
That's right.
Oh, dear God.
They're
what's
a mess.
Happening?
They're a mess.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to our lady friend, Pooja, who joins us on line 2 here on the Kevin Beach. So we're taking your calls. If you ever found your parents' sex tape or found out about your parents' sex tape or, God forbid, walked in on your parents while they were making a sex tape, which of those three are you, Pooja?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
How are you? I am the person that uncovered a sex tape.
When I was tell 16, us about that.
So when I was 16, back in the late 90s in high school, my friend and I were like uber into the 80s and reminiscing on times that we were a part of. And my parents, they're immigrants from India. And my dad, to kind of learn the language and get into the culture, when he first immigrated here, he used to record music videos off of MTV and stuff on VHS tapes. So we were perusing their collection, and my friend and I put a video on. I'm like, okay, it's rewinded to the beginning. How exciting! We're gonna watch like an hour of these like music videos, and there's my mom, <I'm> like stomach down on a bed, and I recognize the freaking comforter from like when I was like 6. And then I hear my dad's voice, and then bam, it cuts to like this 80s video. They tried to record over it, but they weren't successful.
Oh. So how much of your parents was on the tape? Just a couple of seconds?
About like, yeah, 10 to 15 seconds.
Oh, oh no! Oh, God, no.
Ew! It was really bad. And then my dad's like, okay, you know, and my mom's like, okay.
Oh, my God. So did you, this is the question Lisa and I were asking before we went to your call. Did you tell them about it or just close your eyes real tight and pray that it went away?
So I screamed bloody murder. My friend and I were like, holy crap. And then I did let my mom know, and she just laughed, and she's like, okay, you got it.
I love your mom.
I was like, really, mom? So, yeah, that's my story.
It's funny that you can laugh about it now because it's been a few years, but didn't you think about that every hour for like a week? Wasn't it the most horrifying thing that had ever happened to you at that time when you're 16? Because you never, ever, ever – to you when you're 16, your parents are so old, you can't imagine them ever having sex, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. And on top of that, they're like so stringent, you know, so it's like to see them, I just – It was crazy.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Pooja, thank you so much for listening and calling the Kevin DeBeach Show. We appreciate it, okay? All right, Steve, Elizabeth, Christina, all of you, I love you. Hang on. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock. Dear Kevin DeBeach, John writes in from the Kevin DeBeach Facebook page. My brother, the neighborhood kids, and I were making a movie with my parents' camcorder one day. As we were watching some of the footage, we let the tape go past the point where we had stopped recording, and we noticed that we had been recording over most of what was their sex tape. We only saw the last minute of action, but all of our friends saw it too. That's not how you want to find your parents' sex tape, was with the neighborhood kids watching,
dude,
right?
Your mom.
We are talking about this unfortunate topic because the Kardashians have forced it upon us when it was revealed this week that Kris and Bruce Jenner had a sex tape and felt the need to talk about it, not only with their teenage kids, but to share it with the rest of the world. And we're taking your stories. Christina, please hold on. We're going to get to you in a moment. Let's go to Elizabeth first. She is on line 3, and she's up now on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for hanging on, and thanks for calling. What's going on?
Okay. So I was about 13. And my cousin and I were looking for a movie to watch. So we were going through all the VHS tapes and whatnot. And we saw Superman. So we're like, oh, that sounds good. we pop it in. And the room looked familiar. I was like, that's my parents' room. And then I found my mom and my stepdad having sex on the tape. and we screamed our heads off and, like, freaked out, turned it off, and put it away and said nothing anymore after that.
And have you ever brought it up?
No. It happened when I was 13, so it was so long ago, and I think I forgot about it until, like, now.
You tried to. You tried to forget about it.
Now you have to bring it up.
After you cried yourself to sleep every night for 10 years. So who's watching the tape? Who's in the room? You're 13. Who else is there?
My cousin, who was about 12 at the time. So it was just us two. and that was it.
And how much of it do you think you watched?
Not very much, because once we realized, like, we wanted to see what was happening because the room was familiar. And then, like, once, you know, closed.
Once you saw naked people, you weren't interested in it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was done after that.
Yeah, understood. And so was your dad. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that, Elizabeth. Let's go to Christina. She is on line 5. Hi, Christina. Thanks for listening and calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
What happened with your parents? Those filthy animals.
Well, okay, I was like 9 years old, and this, I'm 40 now, so we're talking 30 some years ago. And, I'm 42. And, the kids, we did cassette tapes back then. You know, we recorded off the radio and whatever.
Sure.
So I'm looking through the cassette tapes trying to find something to play, and I find a, you know, one that I can tell is a recording. So I put it in, and it's my mom and my stepdad talking dirty to each other, having sex, and telling dirty jokes to each other.
They recorded it on a cassette tape?
Yeah, that's what we had back then. I mean, you know, and at another time, I found, like, Polaroids of my mom with a stuffed animal. I don't know.
Now, this audio tape, did they record it on the phone or something? Were they just sitting in front of a cassette recorder, like, in the living room?
Sitting in front of a cassette recorder had to be, you know, like, just push record and here we go, honey, you know. And
they're doing a podcast. They were doing a podcast back in the 70s. That's crazy.
And they're like, you know, my mom's like, oh, you're the best ever, you know. Like, my stepdad's like, you know, am I the best you ever had? And, you know, my God. It was just, it scarred me. Like, you know how the last caller said she forgot about it? I have never forgot about it.
Wow. So I would imagine at 9, though, you probably didn't really have much understanding of what it was they were talking about for a lot of it, right?
Oh, no. I knew. Because you have to imagine, like, in my home, my stepfather would, like, smack my mom on the butt in the kitchen while she's cooking dinner and go, I really tore this up last night, you know?
So you totally understood sexy time at that early age. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that we brought up so many bad memories for you and for all of our other callers and listeners today. But Christina, thanks for sharing. Okay.
Welcome.
Why? Because we are your super hits of the 70s station. Freaking Ramones and I Want to Be Sedated here on the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Beautiful actress Charisma Carpenter, very talented, very nice lady, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Haven't talked to her in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, Sylvester Stallone in the news. Remember, Lisa, we were talking, I don't know, about a month ago or so, how Sylvester Stallone had essentially fired Bruce Willis because he wanted too much money to be in The Expendables 3?
Yes. Said it was very public.
He was a greedy bastard. He was going to be there for 4 days. He wanted like $1 million a day or something like that. Who could ever rape the system for that much cash? Well, that's interesting as a backdrop for this. What do you think Sylvester Stallone is charging fans of his that want to meet him, get a photo and an autograph at New York Comic Con in October? How much do you think Sylvester Stallone will charge you to get your photo taken with him and to get an autograph?
I don't think he should charge me anything. I think he should just be there and do that because he's got tons of money.
You are correct, Lisa. $850.
Are you kidding?
$850.
He sucks.
I know that this is a popular thing at a lot of these, especially these sci-fi type conventions where you go and you get your picture taken with the guy from, you know, the Wookiee suit in Star Wars and it's $20 or something like that. I see that all the time. I've never seen anything like this. $850 for a photo and an autograph with Sylvester Stallone. Now, granted, he's a legend. He's Rambo. He's Rocky. I get all that. $850?
Do people pay it?
I guess we'll find out. I guess October is when it's happening, New York Comic Con. I mean, it's a pretty big booking to get Sylvester Stallone. A lot of people would like to meet him, but we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, could he line up Mr. Stallone for us? And I believe we have him on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hi, Sly. Hello, Sylvester Stallone.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? How you doing, buddy?
What's wrong with you guys? I'm trying to talk to you, and then you won't let me talk.
Have you heard Fire Beer Mug? Have you heard that chant that's been all over the nation?
Yeah, I heard that, and I didn't know what it meant before, but now I'm like, yes, I think you should Fire Beer Mug, you know?
Yeah, that's the guy who wouldn't put your phone call in the air.
Yeah.
So listen, Sly, it's great that you're going to the Comic-Con in New York. It's nice that you're meeting the fans. That makes them all very happy.
Yeah,
how do you explain this amount, $850, to meet you and get a picture and an autograph?
Well, first of all, I'm Sylvester Stallone, you know? So it's not like every day you get to meet me every day.
Right.
You know, every day that doesn't happen. So
okay.
It's a unique experience to meet me. And so I'm saying, I think, you know, it's worth it to meet me because I am me.
Right, but you understand that I could meet the Pope for free by just hanging out at the Vatican,
yeah,
and yet you're charging $850.
Well, the Pope never can kick your ass, can the Pope?
No, that's true.
I can kick your ass. Come on. Come on. You want to take me? I'll show you.
We don't.
I'll show you how it is. Come on. That's right. That's right. Shoot the jab. Shoot the jab.
Who are you fighting, Sylvester?
Hold on. I had to keep punching there for a minute.
It sounds like it.
Because Omar wouldn't stop the sound effect.
I understand. You had to go with the sound effect. I guess what I'm saying is it seems like more money than any celebrity I've ever heard at any convention ever asking for a photo and an autograph. Do you think you're justified?
No, I'm not unjustified, first of all. I'm in Rocky and in Expendables and in Rambo. Those are different projects. And I think... Yeah, worth it. Yeah, worth it. Yeah, I'm worth it. Here, take this. Here, a little there. Here, a little there. Look at that. Pope can't do that with speed bag, can he? No, I don't think
you still
so.
Work out a lot for a guy who's got to be pushing 70,
right? That's right. I work out. You got a problem with that?
Nope. Oh, wow. Machine gun now, too.
You drew first blood. You drew first blood.
Nobody drew first blood. Yeah. Nobody's hurting anybody here.
Yeah, you for $850, you come, I'll shoot you. That's what I'll do.
Well, I don't think anybody wants that either.
Souvenir bullets. That's right.
That's souvenir bullets.
Inside you, you know?
So, do you give them anything? You're not really going to shoot anybody. Do you give them anything special?
Don't
or
tell
is there...
me what I'm going to do. What I'm not going to do.
Okay,
I'll shoot people. I'll shoot people.
Wow! Heavy firepower.
That's right. That's right. You know, for $1,500, you get to take a picture with my llama.
You have a llama? Ralph, I think we have you to thank for getting us back in touch with Charisma Carpenter. It was when you did her birthday last week, or last month, rather, that she tweeted out to us, and we got to talking, and now she's coming in next hour.
I love her so much.
I love her so much, too. She's so awesome.
She's got a new show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, looking forward
surviving
to talking to
her. Surviving evil, which makes me sad, because that means she had to survive evil.
And something
I don't want anything ever bad to befall her.
I know. I'm afraid she's going to have to do another episode of Surviving Evil after she visits the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm afraid it's going to be that bad for her.
Whatever evil she may have survived will pale in comparison to putting up with Creepy Bean. I'll tell you that much.
I'm not going to be creepy at all.
You can't help yourself. You're just creepy.
There's nothing creepy about me. It's not like that. Don't try to cheapen the love I have for Charisma Carpenter.
See? There you go. It's already creepy.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Well, this is some news right here. Good or bad, depends on whether you wanted another No Doubt album or not, I guess.
I do. I want one.
In Touch Weekly Magazine is reporting that the lovely and talented Gwen Stefani is pregnant with baby number 3 with husband Gavin Rossdale.
What's the deal there?
Well, when mommy loves daddy, they lay down together and they kiss and touch. And now, according again to In Touch Weekly Magazine, they are expecting yet another.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, that's incorrect. So, we'll have to wait for confirmation from Team Stefani, but this is a pretty reliable source, according, again, to In Touch Weekly Magazine. So, that I'm guessing that takes Gwen out of the music business for a couple years while she gets that all squared
away.
Yeah. Look, I'm very happy for them. It seemed like a great couple, and the family just could not be nicer, and they seemed like just a terrific people. But selfishly, I would like another No Doubt album sooner than later, but that's probably not going to happen.
And, Ralph, there's no way that science has come up with to prevent pregnancy, right?
No, sadly.
Okay.
You know, it's just left up to fate, pretty much.
You just roll the dice. If you're going to have sex, you're going to get pregnant.
You're going to get pregnant. You could. That's the way it works. A little more No Doubt, a little less No Condom. How about that? You too. God's sakes. There is yet another Elvis Presley biopic on its way. Do we need another movie about Elvis?
I'm good without
it. We learned everything about Elvis we needed to know.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of new
poor
stuff.
Poor truck driver really dug his mom. Recorded records, shot to fame and fortune, killed himself with drugs and obesity and overindulgence, right? Well, it's called Last Train to Memphis. Covers the king of rock and roll's early years. Will be produced by Mick Jagger.
That could be interesting,
I guess. Is interesting. You just told us a few days ago that he's the producer on a James Brown biopic
as well. That is true. It is happening. Mick is now making movies about rock stars instead of being one. If you want to play Elvis, the reason I bring this all up is because there is a website called youngelviscasting.com that is looking, apparently, for an unknown actor to take on the role of Elvis from the ages of around 18 to 22 on. So you have to be 18 to 22 years old, and if you're an actor, you can go to youngelviscasting.com and find out how you can audition for the role of Elvis.
I think we're all thinking the same thing, and that's that young Elvis is right in front of us right now, Ralph.
Beer mug.
Absolutely.
Yes, he's got the same sexual smoldering potency. He's got the charisma. He's
got talent.
The talent. He likes beats.
That's right.
Elvis loved black people.
That's right.
Beer mug loves black people.
He certainly
we know that.
Did. Oh, you'd be great at this, beer mug. And you only looked 30 years too old to play the role.
You look like Elvis when he was on the toilet in Graceland at the end.
How dare you?
Just before he did a face plant into the shag. That's the Elvis you could play.
Fantastic.
You could play bloated jumpsuit Elvis. Jane Lynch is getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. If you're a Glee fan and you want to go down and support her, it's 11:30 this morning at 6640 Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of the Sports Center store.
Well deserved.
Absolutely. She is a very talented lady. Glee producer Ryan Murphy will be on hand to help with the ceremony. So put on your best tracksuit and go on down there and honor Jane Lynch. And if you have any interest at all, this morning they did announce who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars for the 17th season of that popular competition reality show. Here's who's going to be on it. As we've heard, rumored, Jersey Shore star Snooki will be one of the dancers. That's true. Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell, of course, and Showgirls. 74-year-old TV icon Valerie Harper. She was Rhoda for many seasons, of course.
How can we not root for her to win, right?
Yeah, that's something. She's got to be the sentimental vote, right? Although former Glee star Amber Riley will also be stomping the boards. So.
Is she not on Glee anymore?
I don't believe so. Wasn't she part of the graduating class? I don't know anything about Glee anymore.
I haven't been watching, yeah.
Christina Milian. On the male side, Jack Osborne. Corbin Blue from High School Musical. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Obviously.
I give him the Michael Catherwood Award for the first person jettisoned off the show.
It's pretty good.
Bloodline lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
Bill Engvall the Comedian. Pretty Little Liar star, Brant Daugherty. Keyshawn Johnson from the NFL. And Leah Remini, who made, of course, headlines this summer after her acrimonious split with Scientology. She will be on Dancing with the Stars as well. And speaking of Leah, she has announced where she will make her first post-Scientology TV interview on television. It's going to be on The Ellen Show. Ellen DeGeneres Show, the new season premieres on September the 9th. And in that premiere episode, Leah will be on there talking about her experiences pre- and post-Scientology, I'm assuming.
Are there a lot of Scientologists in the United States, Ralph?
Wow.
Are there millions of them?
That's a great question. I have no idea what kind of numbers they have.
I was just wondering, because if she were still in the church, I bet a lot of people would try to vote for her, you know, just to kind of pump up her celebrity and Scientology and everything like that.
For Dancing with the Stars, you mean?
Yeah, for Dancing with the Stars, yeah. But now, those same people, there's no way they're going to vote for her.
Oh, I see. Might be an anti.
Right.
They might vote for Bill Nye the Science Guy instead.
I'm just wondering how that's going to affect her voting.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Isn't Scientology one of those things where you really like someone, and then once you hear they're a Scientologist, you're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You
know? It's true, Kathy. It does have an effect on me. I have a bigger crush now on Leah. It's post-Scientology than I did before. Today's celebrity birthdays. Whitney Cummings is 31 years old today. Singer Beyonce is 32. Max Greenfield is 34 years old. Actor Wes Bentley turns 35. Radio host, TV host, occasional doctor, Drew Pinsky celebrates his 55th birthday today.
Happy birthday, Drew.
You know, a better looking, better in shape guy at 55 than Drew Pinsky?
No kidding.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Well, how does he find time to work out and run and do those things when he's doing 18 television shows?
Because he won't see patients.
Four radio shows. Knocking up all those teen moms.
Right.
He's got like 17 kids at home. What's up with this guy? I don't think there's more than one.
Deal with the devil. Could be.
I think
could
it's
be
been cloned.
He is a doctor. Maybe
that's
it.
I'm saying. Took a little of his own DNA and grew himself a new Pinsky. I wish I could grow myself a new Pinsky. And singer-director Liam Lynch.
Who bought that goddamn chair? That's not my chair. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say.
I miss that guy.
I do, too.
43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. That's Charisma Carpenter right there.
Yes, here on the show.
Hi, Charisma. What's going on?
Well, I'm here with almost all of you.
Yes. Yeah. I apologize that our little friend Kevin did not love you as much as Ralph and I do, but we're here and that's what matters. Let's focus on the positive, shall we?
I'm okay.
Get right up close to that microphone, if you would, just so we can make sure to hear you. Now, there I know you're very busy. You got much going on with the Expendables movies and setting the internet on fire with bikini photos. You've been doing a lot of that lately.
Sorry
about that.
That's what the internet was made for. Charisma Carpenter pictures.
Were you surprised at how much reaction that got, by the way?
Yeah, I was, actually.
Well, you shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I'm flattered, though. It's awesome. But I was having a moment, I guess.
A good moment.
Yeah,
more
that
of those
awesome
moments.
So you are producing a new television show, correct? Surviving Evil. You are one of the producers on this show, right?
I am.
Okay. You sound so tentative. Nobody's going to bite you here, Charisma. Just relax.
This isn't a test.
You're going to be fine. It's not a test. You've already won because you're Charisma Carpenter. Tell us about this TV show and why you wanted to bring it to TV and if this channel that you're claiming it's on is actually real.
It is. It's Investigation Discovery Channel. And if you're on DirecTV, it's channel 237. It'll be on tonight, 10:09 Central.
Yeah, the ID channel is a lot of murder stuff and things like
it
that.
It is.
Yeah.
I
find myself locked on there sometimes. I just watch show after show because it's fascinating.
Do you hear that, men? Do you hear that? A man just admitted to watching ID on loop.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Well, Ralph's been looking for a way to get out of his marriage for some time.
Stop
so maybe he's switching.
That's only
going to
solidify the marriage, though.
<That's right. laughs>
The two of them have bond.
Yes.
Scare
snuggle.
A way out.
That's how I found the network. My wife discovered it, and then I caught on after the fact. But Surviving Evil, this is a show that you came up with? Is this your idea?
It was not my idea. I was looking to develop something along those lines with other production companies, but Cineflex came along and ID came along, and it was just the right fit. I felt that they kind of got the concept. I wasn't interested in exploiting people's stories or my own story, for that matter. I wanted it to be told, but I wanted it to be told in a very specific way. Raw, real, authentic, and they were able to sort of make that happen and facilitate that. So
we can guess from the title, for folks who are just hearing about Surviving Evil for the first time, that this is the stories of people who have had terrible things happen to them, and then they survive. That's the good news. The bad news is now they've got to deal with what happened for the rest of their life, and that's something that you've gone through personally, and you wanted to share your experience, talk about how you kind of came back from it, and also put the light on other people who have been through the same thing, right?
You're so good.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good that way.
That's exactly right. I did. I wanted to share my story just in the sense that it can it can be a terrible experience to have when, you know, tonight's episode, for instance, someone gets kidnapped by a serial killer and survives and he sets her free. And yes, we know everyone survives, but how do they survive? And what that's the compelling storytelling. How do they survive? What's their thought process? How did they get through it? And then after the fact, in a lot of cases, people have gone on and started foundations for battered women. Lisa McVeigh, whose story is tonight, who was kidnapped by the serial killer. She's a police officer in special victims in Florida now. So.
Oh, wow.
And then there's me, you know, like I'm an actress. So you can
and your surviving evil story was about having to work with Boreanaz, right? I mean, that's what you had to survive that and then go on with the rest of your life.
So mean.
Oh, I love my David.
Let's talk a little bit about your story. And I'm almost a little bit uncomfortable because I don't want you to feel uncomfortable.
I'm not at all.
You had something that happened to you before we even knew who Charisma Carpenter was, before you were an actress, right? How old at this point when you're living down in San Diego?
I believe it was 21.
21 years old. Okay. Yeah. And what's the short version of what you went through, Charisma?
Well, my friends and I went down to the beach, Torrey Pines State Beach in La Jolla, which is actually a really nice area. It was summer. I was 21. And we had gone out earlier, and then we decided to go to the beach. It was always a great decision. And we were playing at the beach. You know, I'm there down at the water splashing around, and because I'm me and type A, I wanted to sort of take my clothes off and hang them on the ladder of the life tower. And
Slowly here, Charisma.
Super slow.
See, I told you he was going to be creepy,
Charisma.
No, I'm
just saying, I want to make sure I don't want to miss any of the story.
And I apologize.
It sounded like it was an important plot point, Ralph.
All right. So that's creepy.
You're 21. You're on the beach.
Charisma asked me to come in here with her so she wouldn't have to face you alone.
That's untrue.
If that makes you feel
That's
any better
not
about
true.
Yourself.
All you right, know how I said you were good before?
All right. So you're naked. You're 21.
I'm not
you're on the
naked.
Beach. You're not naked.
I'm not
sorry.
Naked.
My mind is
just
misunderstood. Okay.
So,
all right, so what next?
What happens is this rogue San Diego police officer had been stalking women on the beaches, couples actually, and he was right there and presented himself with a gun and a hose over his face, and I screamed, and the boys came up, and it started to feel like it was going to be a robbery, but then it became evident that he had more sinister ideas. But ultimately, Arthur Gracia and Aldo jumped him, and I wasn't hurt.
So lucky.
You were, in
they
other
were
words, you were rescued from being potentially assaulted, attacked, raped. Who knows what would have murdered? Who knows what could have happened?
Well, he was shooting to kill at that point. When Arthur jumped him, he shot him immediately, and miraculously, Arthur just kept fighting. He didn't even realize that he had been shot, and they fought like hard for a half an hour. Gunshots are going off. I go up to the highway to try to get help, which, by the way, nobody was available. I don't know what they were doing. But the next day when the papers came out, they were sure to tell the story and everything that they saw and heard, which is so annoying. People help people when they're hurting.
What time of day was this, Charisma?
It was midnight.
Oh, it was midnight. Okay.
Midnight. So,
but there were cars like all along, you know, like.
So people saw something, but they weren't jumping
involved
in at the time, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, to their defense, like, you know, you're scared, but there's some
campers. And you hear gunshots.
Yeah, you do. And then I'm banging on camper doors and cars and you know people are in there, but they're not responding.
Right, right. So I would imagine, though, first you're terrified.
I still have to work out those resentments.
Yeah, you're
about that still.
You're terrified.
You That's legitimate.
And you're shocked.
Thanks,
and
Ralph.
Then you breathe a huge sigh of relief when you realize that you've survived. And you're not hurt, but it doesn't just go away like the next day you don't wake up and you never think about it again. I mean, that's kind of what surviving evil is about, is that's something that probably still comes to your mind more often than you'd like, even 20 years later, right?
I think yes, it's definitely on my mind. I think what's on my mind, though, is a little different than maybe 3 years after or 5 years after. I think today what's on my mind is I'm just incredibly aware of my surroundings. I try to keep my head up, and, you know, if I'm parking somewhere at night, I park where there's light or as close to the front door as possible. Just try to avoid those things that could invite unwanted attention.
I saw the preview of the episode that we're going to see tonight called Surviving Evil. And again, what channel is it on?
Investigation Discovery.
And that is real, right?
It is super real.
It is. Okay. How do you not watch it? It's fascinating.
I just want to make sure. I guess I need to. I guess I need
well,
to start.
Them out. What, you want to have a viewing
tonight.
Party?
Yes, I do. And I saw a little bit of the early, you know, some of the early footage of your episode tonight. And I want to talk some more about that when we come back, including the literally years of therapy that you underwent as a result of this incident, right? I mean, I'm not exaggerating about that.
No. Yes, it's true. Lots of
Surviving
therapy.
Evil is the name of the show. It's on tonight. More with our guest, Charisma Carpenter, when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Charisma Carpenter in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The show is on Investigation Discovery tonight. It is called Surviving Evil. When we last left off with Miss Carpenter, she was telling us about a terrible thing that happened to her in her early 20s, a terrifying encounter with a serial rapist on the beach in San Diego. She survived it, but the story didn't end there. What was it like for you in the days and weeks after that attack?
Can I ask you something before you answer that? Your friend, you said two of your friends got shot?
Mm-hmm.
How did they do? I mean, they...
One was critically injured, and the other, both of them still actually have the bullets in their body.
No kidding.
And, you know, they're doing okay.
Because I think that would play into how you feel about the whole thing as well.
With my two friends being shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was in therapy for a while.
Yeah.
I was working that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of guilt and also it was kind of great to do the show in the sense that I got to tell Arthur finally, thank you. I never really saw Aldo again. I still haven't seen Aldo, and I hadn't seen Arthur in 17 years or something like that. And so it was really nice to actually see him and realize that he hasn't changed at all. And, he still has his humor, and, you know, he's, you know, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. But you were kind of getting back to the weeks afterwards. Were you just terrified to go out of your house, or did you always have to have somebody stay with you? Did you have nightmares? What was it like? All of those things.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I really shut down, and I think it was really traumatizing, too, to be in the hospital, and I couldn't change. They wouldn't let me change. There was this wonderful woman from Victim Witness Program that came and sat with me and helped me through the, not interrogation, but sort of the investigation end of things. I was very out of it and stunned and worried for my friends. I remember Barbara Boxer coming and all these police people coming and saying, "You're heroes, you stopped him." And they were obviously very upset and doing damage control since he was a police officer. But for me personally, I never went back to my apartment. I'd later found out that he had been stalking me, and he actually lived in my apartment complex, which was really large. I was in property management at the time, and I was a leasing agent at this place, and he lived there. And he had been stalking me, which I didn't find out until after the case was over.
Wow.
But what I ended up doing is going home to my parents in Florida and staying there for a while. And then eventually, you know, you got to kind of pull it together and work it out.
But you must never feel safe again after something like that. Even though you process it and you work it out, you were saying even today, you look for, you know, well-lit areas to park your car in. You're close to the car. That there's a piece of that that has changed you forever that you have to sort of deal with, right?
Well, I remember having to go to work when I worked on Angel. I worked over at Paramount, and I remember having really crazy hours. And so sometimes I would have anxiety about walking out my front door to my car and just, you know, or coming home at 3 a.m. and,
sure,
you know, those sorts of things. It does hit you sometimes. But, you know, it's just a feeling, and it's an awareness, and I just acknowledge it and move on.
But doing this show, how do other people's stories affect you? Because I find that sometimes things that happen in your personal life will alter how you view other people's situations. Mm-hmm. For example, now I've got a 3-year-old daughter, and when I hear stories about kids or parents or things, I'm affected in a way now that I never would have been 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Listening to the stories of other people who have survived evil the way you have,
right,
you must be affected by these stories that you're telling, even on this show, right?
Yes, it is. It's very traumatizing, the things that happen to these people. And like tonight's episode, which again is just an insane story. And I cannot believe this woman and how she is today. She's a police officer, and she has this big, big personality. And it is. It's amazing. It's powerful. And I'm a mom. So I think you're forever changed by being a mom. And when you hear about horrible things happening to people, and then, you know, I feel bad for my parents. What happened to me was like a parent's worst nightmare.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. A lot of times I have heard when people talk about the victims, the survivors, and I was thinking about just this week when Ariel Castro is back in the news, of course, those women that he held hostage or kidnapped for all those years in Cleveland. I was thinking, what is the rest of their life like? Like, how do they ever recover from 10 years
imagine.
Of being... I can't even imagine what that's like.
Better today than it was yesterday.
Better today, yeah. But you hear sometimes people will say it's similar to post-traumatic stress syndrome that people have in combat. And part of the frustration of that is that there are always a lot of people around who don't believe it or don't take it seriously. Did you encounter that at any point along the way where people were just like, hey, get over it?
Family members. I think everybody... I almost felt like in some cases that I was sort of victimized twice, not only by the incident, but then by the judgment of others and how you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. What were you doing at the beach at night? You should know better. Or, you know, I remember when I was half dressed, I had my bra and underwear on, and I remember just getting this kind of attitude from one of the EMTs, like, put your clothes on, you know, and there are a lot of things that I remember and was affected by, not just by the incident.
And because this guy didn't get the chance to do what he wanted to do, there were probably people who said, well, you're one of the lucky ones. You weren't raped. You know, you weren't shot. You weren't attacked.
You weren't really a victim
because
you got away. Right?
Get over it because you got away. Yeah.
Nobody's actually said that to me until now.
Oh, well.
Thanks, Ralph.
Way to go, get over it, Charisma, for God's sakes.
All right, we're almost
out
of time.
You're not really hurt. You're okay.
You're fine.
The show is called Surviving Evil, and it does look very intense based on several minutes of clips that I saw on the website. It's on tonight on the Investigation Discovery Channel. How many episodes do you have, Charisma? How many?
Ten
episodes.
In the can, yeah.
So that's a lot of stories that we're going to see as they unfold on this season, right?
Yes. Very compelling television.
Wow, it sounds like it. Well, obviously, we're so glad that you survived. We're so glad that you're okay.
Enough already. Jeez.
Wah, wah, wah.
You've made our lives a better place. You've made the world a prettier place to be in. But come back and see us next time for something perhaps a little more fun.
Okay.
All right, Charisma. Thank you, my dear.
Bye.
You don't think Charisma thought I was creepy, though, right, Lisa? I wasn't creepy.
I
saw
her face.
Yes.
Maybe you didn't see her face.
No.
She's creepy.
Did she think, that hurts me. I love her. I want her to love me, too.
Yeah, that's creepy, too.
Apparently that's not happening. Hey, two great things to listen for coming up just after 9 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, Xbox 360 for you. Plus, you get a chance to play with Linkin Park, their new Xbox game called Recharge at a secret party in Venice Beach. You get both of those things. Xbox 360 and you hang with Linkin Park. That's coming up at around 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thing two is we're going to talk to Adam Carolla, who has publicly said that anyone who calls AAA to have a tire changed is a pussy.
I changed my own tire once.
I did that this week. I called AAA to get a tire change. And I am going to attempt to justify it with the Ace Man. And let's see who wins. That's coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning. I have a feeling he's going to win, but I'm going to try anyway. Here's a great piece of tape that we have not been able to play for you yet this week. This is from a security video from a McDonald's restaurant in Ohio. Lisa, have you heard this yet?
No.
Beer Mug, have you heard this yet?
Not yet.
She pulls up to the drive-thru window, and I'm sure this happens at every fast food restaurant that has a menu for certain times of day in the whole country. It happens at least once a day in every restaurant in this country. Somebody wants to order something that they're not serving at that time of day. In this case, she was not in the right window for Chicken McNuggets. She wanted it, and it was breakfast time, so they wouldn't give her Chicken McNuggets. She goes berserk like nobody's business. At one point, she reaches through the drive-thru window, then tries to climb into the window and is trying to hit the guys behind the glass at the McDonald's because they won't serve her Chicken McNuggets. She also will, at one point, grabs a bottle out of her car and tosses it through the window, smashing it.
Oh, my God. Why didn't she just walk in?
Was it closed? I don't think so. I mean, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I guess she could have come in, but she wanted her goddamn Chicken McNuggets, and she wanted them at the drive-thru. All right, let's enjoy a little bit of this security video tape, shall we?
Let's just make a McNuggets and then
10:30 a.m. We don't serve chicken McNuggets at this time.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Why not?
Because we don't.
You know what? Did you just hiss at me? I'm more than just hissing you.
Hey, get your scurvy ass out of the car. What's going on over there?
Don't you run away from me, you family boy.
Yeah.
Back up. Oh, no. Don't make me assume my ultimate form. I will you up.
Okay, stop the tape. Stop the tape.
What
I'm going to come in there and I'm going to rip you.
All right, so
she reaches her hand through the window and she is pushing the window open. And the poor guy in the McDonald's outfit on the other side of the glass is trying to slam the door shut, you know, the window shut, rather, on her hand. So at one point, her hand is in there just jammed, and he's just slamming it, slamming it, slamming it until eventually she pulls her hand out, and that's when the window is able to close all the way. We were trying to figure out when we saw this video yesterday, because I, you know, I've been seriously thinking about getting into meth, and I know a lot of people, including Dr. Drew, say not a wise choice, but I feel like I'm not getting as much done as I'd like. And mm-hmm. I feel like if mm-hmm. I had the kind of energy that this – I don't know if it's meth, but it seems like she has so much energy and she's more excited about these chicken McNuggets than I am about anything in my life that I feel like she's winning right now. Like she's doing better than I am.
Well, you know, if you don't count teeth as something that's important to you, I think you're right. She's totally
winning.
That's
a good idea. All right. So she's not done yet. They may have slammed the window on her. She's still on the other side, but she's still outside of her car. Let's see what she does next. All right, stop the tape.
What now, is happening, Bean?
Is she like growling like a lion, or what is she doing? She's throwing the biggest tantrum in the world. She's a 3-year-old you've just taken her toys away from. She's banging on the window. She's screaming. She's shrieking. She's hysterical. This woman loves chicken McNuggets. She's still not done.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this job? What's going on? Is she like getting burned by her apple pie or something?
I have no idea.
We need to call the police. This is out of control. Holy
All right, she finally pulls. You heard the glass break. She
yes.
took a bottle out of her car, smashed it into the window, broke the window in two different places, then jumped in her car and screamed off. By the way, she did get arrested later on. Her name was Melody Duchesne. She admitted that she was angry that McNuggets were not being served because it was breakfast time. She admits to being drunk at the time and was sentenced to 60 days in jail and was ordered to pay McDonald's for the broken window. She only admits to being drunk. Is it possible, in all your experience of people being intoxicated, has anyone ever been that amped up and that crazy from drunk?
I don't. I mean, that does not say drunk to me at all.
It says drugs, right?
Yes. It's like PCP drugs.
Right.
It's
right, right.
It's bath salts.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is out of your mind crazy. This incident happened a couple of months ago at the McDonald's in Ohio, but the video has just been released this past Monday when it became public record. What's your thinking, Beer Mug? You know all about this sort of thing. What is she on?
Look, one thing I know is when you want your chicken McNuggets, you can it'll make you mad. It'll madden you. You'll go insane.
What am I going to Beer Mug for?
Right.
Exactly.
Nobody stands in the way of Beer Mug and food, right?
Exactly.
Well, the video is real. You can see it. And it's crazy to see everything that we've described, to see her trying to climb through the window, trying to hit the McDonald's employee behind the glass. You do see her throwing the bottle. You do see her driving away. But unfortunately, it has been revealed that the audio is fake, ladies and gentlemen.
You know,
and I am very, very sad to report that to you because I so desperately wanted it to be true.
When that manager said, we better call the police. This is getting out of control. I thought, that doesn't sound right. That
what,
is
thought,
not
now
a real
it's getting
reaction.
Out of control?
Yeah, yeah, come on. And that's like, when he calls the police?
Like, why wouldn't you be screaming at that point already?
Yes.
Or have somebody call immediately when they
yes.
start beating you? I just think it's a, and I don't know how it was uncovered. I guess somebody, you know, somebody on Reddit did a little snooping and found the original surveillance video from the McDonald's restaurant where there was no sound. But I think they did a great job of adding what looked like incredibly realistic sound to match what was happening on the video. And now you can find it with the video, and it makes it even better. So I'm just going to, even though it's been revealed as a fake, I'm just going to choose to believe that it's real anyway.
Okay.
And I love her, and I'm going to get some nuggets. I'll see you guys in a bit.
All right.
Were you drumming along with Queens of the Stone Age? Is that what was happening there?
It was crushing it.
Ralph Garman remix. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock for a Wednesday morning. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, this is just a day full of shockers, I'll tell you. First,
yes.
I told you an hour ago, according to In Touch Weekly magazine, Gwen Stefani and her husband, Gavin Rosdale, are going to have another baby.
Well, you assume it's with her husband.
Gwen pregnant with baby number 3, according to the magazine. Congratulations to that lovely couple. They just are just the best couple in show business.
Well, you assume she's the one that he got pregnant.
Why do you have to be so horrible?
Just saying, we don't know, man.
We do know. She's pregnant. Right. If she's pregnant, it's from her husband, Gavin Rosdale.
What's
and
the
if
new...
he got anyone pregnant, it's his wife, Gwen Stefani.
I tease because I love them both so much. What's the other shocker?
Well, if you believe RadarOnline.com.
And I do.
All right. Well, Lisa's in. No matter what I say, I know she's in.
Whatever it is.
Quietly, without fanfare, without any big announcements or doing any big ceremonies where he gets accolades foisted upon him, Jack Nicholson has retired from acting.
What's the last thing he did, Ralph?
Oh.
It's been a while, right?
It's not bucket list. What's the last thing he did?
We'll have to look it up.
Yeah, we'll have
Sorry,
to.
I
but
asked.
A source tells RadarOnline.com, Jack has, without fanfare, retired. The simple reason behind the decision? Memory loss.
Can't memorize
At
scripts.
At 76 years old, Jack has memory issues and can no longer remember the lines being asked of him. And I guess if you're an actor of the level of Jack Nicholson, who famously, I mean, if you ever hear Rob Reiner talk about A Few Good Men, that scene on The Stand where he and Tom Cruise are going at it with each other, that was shot in just one large chunk. And that whole speech that he delivers all came from memory. I mean, Rob Reiner said it was like watching a play, watching him perform that yeah. that moment in that
He's
movie.
One of those people
one of
that
those,
can do that.
One of those actors. And I think if your skills begin to diminish, you feel perhaps you're not delivering what you can, and you don't want to be any less than you were. He's got all the money in the world.
Right.
He's given all the great performances anyone could ever ask to give. Maybe he's just decided, you know what? That's enough.
He's done a lot of drugs, too.
How dare you, Lisa May?
And he has had a lot to drink. I am not surprised he has
At
some 76. Memory loss. Short-term memory goes quick.
Ugh, you're horrible. You just ruin everything for everybody.
I'm also sad because this comes on the heels a couple of months ago, Ralph, of remember you telling us that Gene Hackman had also retired.
Yeah.
And I just, both of those guys are giants in the film industry.
But
and I,
at least Gene Hackman kicked a homeless guy's ass.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So he gave us that, at least. Nicholson reportedly has no plans on becoming a recluse. He's not going to leave public life. He is just apparently not going to work in films anymore. So,
this
end
is
of an era, if it's true.
This is from I Am Dave B., so take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But he says Nicholson's last film was that horrible James L. Brooks movie, How Do You Know? Remember that
right.
romantic comedy that had a million stars in it?
Yes.
Reese Witherspoon, Paul Rudd,
yes.
Owen Wilson, a bunch of other people. Apparently, yeah. Mr. Nicholson made an appearance in that.
Maybe that's what drove him out.
That could be it. He could have seen that movie and then said, that's it, I'm out.
Yeah. The last role he was offered, reportedly, was an upcoming film called Nebraska. The producers wanted him to play the key role of an aging, booze-addled father who makes a trip from Montana to Nebraska with his estranged son in order to claim a million-dollar mega sweepstakes marketing prize. The role ultimately went to Bruce Dern after Nicholson advised the filmmakers that he wasn't interested. So he's been passing on roles for some time now, and according again to this story, is done.
So what's he going to do? He's got no acting. He's got no Lakers in the playoffs anymore. That doesn't matter.
Oh, how dare you.
So he's got all this time, I guess, just more chicks. That's it. He'll just up it from 5 to 10 chicks a day,
Dean,
right?
I guess I'll just have to have more cocktails and more cheerleaders.
Right. Does sound like a terrible life for you, Jack.
Still sounds like I win.
Kate Upton's on the cover of Vanity Fair's 100-year anniversary
wow.
issue.
Wow. I never knew we had so many bells.
Oh, my. Ow. Ow. Jeez. The clown car just pulled up. The magazine is celebrating 100 years in existence. To mark the milestone, they put Kate Upton and her cleavage on the... All right, I'm not even gonna talk anymore about her because that's the most annoying thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry, I didn't even catch. Who are we talking about? This Vanity Fair, they're doing what?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Whitney Cummings is 31 years old today. Singer Beyonce is 32. Max Greenfield, so good on New Girl, 34 years old. Wes Bentley, very talented, handsome actor, 35 years old. Dr. Drew Pinsky celebrates
his
birthday.
Oh, his work with
today.
Snoop Dogg in the early 90s was just incredible. Those guys together, Dr. Drew producing and then Snoop rapping. Just some of the classic West Coast. You can stop me anytime, Ralph.
No.
Of all time. Just doesn't get it. Hey, Keyboard Cat.
Yeah.
Keyboard Cat
came out of retirement.
How about that?
Just in order to play you the F off.
I'm just saying.
And singer-director Liam Lynch is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla has a lot going on, as he do. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the podcasts, Mangria information, Road Hard movie information, and details on his upcoming live appearances, including tonight at the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles with special guest Dana Gold, who's always very funny on the podcast. Adam is also going to be in Corona at the M15 Bar on the 15th, on the 21st in San Bernardino, performing at the Arts Center there with Dennis Prager. Tickets available again through adamcarolla.com. But I wanted to have the Ace Man on today, not for This Week in Rage, but because I had a little bit of a crisis a couple of days ago, and Adam Carolla is involved in it, and I needed to talk to him about it personally, man to man. Hi, Ace. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Bean. How are the wife and pigs?
Doing fine. Thanks, Adam. You know how there are points in a man's life, and I guess this is true for women, too, where you're at a crossroads in your life and something happens and you think, what should I do? And sometimes you go to Jesus, you go to your faith, you go to your training, maybe you hear your parents' voice and they help you make that decision on what the next move should be. You know what I'm talking about, right, Adam?
Sure.
Well, this is where I was the other day. 2 days ago, I pulled into the parking lot of a 7-Eleven, like I do, and I hit the curb or something and popped my tire. Right. So I got air, I turn off the car and I hear this pssst. Turned out my air was just streaming out of the tire. So now I'm in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven and I've got a flat tire. And I thought, I got a jack and a spare. I guess I could change the tire. And then I thought, but I've got AAA. I should just call them. That's what I pay them for. But yeah. Then I thought, how am I going to face Adam Carolla if I call AAA to change the tire?
Well, you know, as you know, the inspiration for the book In 50 Years Will All Be Chicks was from Dr. Drew being late for Loveline for the first time in, you know, 8 years. I'd been doing the show with him because he'd got a flat tire. And
right.
I said, where did you break down? And he said, at my house. And I said, well, I don't get it then. And he said, I had to wait for AAA.
Right.
And you had to wait to get to your house? So this is AAA coming to Dr. Drew's house. And that's
yes.
when I realized it was all over, and when Kimmel heard about this story, he dubbed it Triple Gay.
Well, I just know, I mean, I've heard you tell that story before, and it's come up in the past, and that's what was racing through my mind is, am I practically the Taliban if I make this phone call, or is it a reasonable thing for a guy who pays for a service to use as a backup? So when I got home...
I don't want to break your heart here, Bean, but
okay.
I did a show in Minneapolis about a month ago. And driving home from the show, I saw a purple Excalibur broken down by the side of the road, and Prince was changing his own tire. Hand to God.
Yeah, I'm sure.
In his high wedgy shoes, wearing a leather unitard. Hand to God, Prince. So I think if Prince can do it.
Well, I tweeted about it when I got home because nothing happens in the 21st century, Adam, unless you tweet about it. You know that. And I said I had a decision to make to call AAA or not. And I know what Adam Carolla would think. Who's right? And I got 100 responses from this. And let me just read a couple of them. We'll see what you think. Josh writes in, Adam is right. Man up, Bean. Stop being a baby back bitch is what he says. Roger writes, tell him with the time saved by using AAA, you were able to earn more money to donate to the Road Hard movie. So I think that's a pretty good. Perry writes in, if it's in your driveway, change your own tire. And I guess that would apply to Dr. Drew in his garage, too. If it's in or next to traffic, let AAA do it. Simple. And finally, Jim writes in, real men make enough money so that when they get in trouble, they can just call a guy. And I think that Jim is right for me. That was the approach I took, as I thought, why would I not use AAA if I have it and somebody else will come out and change my tire and then I don't have to? I still don't quite see why that's wrong.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bean. Let me give you an example, an apples-to-apples example. I could pay a guy to hug my children. Okay. I could pay an individual to do that because Daddy's working on his third book, but I take the time because it makes me a more well-rounded individual. The honest answer is this, or this is the way I feel. I feel like I've been able to do a lot of things in the last few years simply because I've done them, because people go, how do you do a podcast? I go, you do a podcast, and they go, how do you write a book? You go, you just start writing a book. And
right.
Once you start doing a bunch of things, you get better at other things. And all I'm saying is maybe by taking the time and changing the tire, it's not just all about time and money. It's about you taking that experience and translating it into another part of your life. So you take the time, you change the tire, the next thing you know, you have a feeling of gratitude and a feeling of satisfaction, and you're a better father to those pigs.
I will tell you, though, that when I did call AAA, I did the wrong thing, apparently. The guy who shows up to change my tire, and I'm not on the side of the road. I'm not on the interstate. It's not 3 a.m. I'm not touring with Prince. I'm in a sunny parking lot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in a West Seattle 7-Eleven, okay? So it's not dramatic. And anyway, the guy who shows up to change my tire, if I'm lying, I'm dying, Adam, is 75 years old.
Sure.
And he pops out of the car and he has that tire changed and has me back on the road in like 4 minutes. I mean, it's a miracle. It's just a flurry to see how fast this guy changes the tire and just hits the road it goes. And I did feel a little demasculated, if that's the word, just standing there watching Grandpa drive away after doing that job.
Yeah, shaking his head, mumbling about the gays.
I don't think it was a gay thing at all, but he might have been shaking his head
about, mumbling about the gays.
It might have been about the kids. I'm not sure, but
gays
I just
these days, he said.
I have to tell you, Adam, and I don't know how often you hear this from your podcast listeners throughout the years, but do people say that you get in their heads and they really do like think of you at inopportune times or when they are surprised to hear the voice of Adam Carolla screaming at them?
Yeah, they do, and in a weird way, it's the sincerest form of flattery. Like they think they hear my, you know, when they see the dog boarding the airplane with the person who's barefoot walking by the Cinnabon, and they see all these things I complain about, or they see the manifestation, this stuff I say, you know, here's what's coming down the pike, society, brace yourself. Then they take a picture of it, then they hear my voice in their head, and I like that. I want everyone's to hear the voice in my head. And as I say to everyone who works with me, when they say, I did my best, I always say to them, don't do your best, do my best.
Well, it put me in a tight spot because we talk to you every week and I always think you make a lot of sense. And I think I want to live in Adam Carolla's America. And then I realize that I'm not fit to live in Adam Carolla's America. That was the lesson that I learned. But at least I didn't get my hands dirty doing it.
You would be immediately ousted to AAA Island.
Amalfi Restaurant tonight with special guest Dana Gold. That's going to be great. Doors open at 5:30. You get a glass of red or white Mangria with your purchase. First come, first serve. That's for tonight. And then in Corona on the 15th. And in the 21st, you're going to be with the San Bernardino Theater with your good friend Dennis Prager. All the details at adamcarolla.com. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Dean.
Eric Lopez from Los Angeles. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and the world-famous K-Rock today. You just won yourself a brand-new Xbox 360. Plus, you also get to play Linkin Park's new Xbox game called Recharge at a secret party in Venice Beach with the band there. Got another chance for you at 12:10 today, then 3:10 and 6:10 all this week. You can get the details at krock.com. back when Billy Corgan was still a sinner, when he was a heathen,
that's
when
right.
he didn't care about the Lord.
Now.
The Jesus in you is the Jesus in me.
Curious to see what that new batch of songs you were describing for us yesterday is going to sound like from Smashing Pumpkins.
It's going to be about God, man.
Could be very
That's
different.
That's what Jesus wants. He said Jesus wants better music from the Christian rock community.
Okay. And
he's just the man to deliver it.
Well, I can't wait. Hey, it's 9:37 now. It's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Tons of shocking news today. Just first, Gwen Stefani, according to In Touch Weekly magazine, is pregnant again with baby number 3. That's not shocking so much.
Well,
news.
You said shocking.
Surprising and happy. That's happy, okay. Surprising news. No, that's not happy surprise music. The shocking news is, according to RadarOnline.com, Jack Nicholson has retired from acting.
That is kind of shocking.
Well-placed Hollywood Film Insider confirms to Radar Online, Jack has, without fanfare, retired. The simple reason behind his decision, says the website, is memory lost. At 76, Jack has memory issues and can no longer remember the lines from the scripts. It's not a slasher moment. It's just, his memory isn't what it used to be. That's all.
Someone died here. Once. Come on, relax.
Whose memory is what it used to be?
You know, Meryl Streep used to be able to look at a script once and have it completely memorized.
Bitch.
And now, yeah, I know.
Now she has to look at it twice.
Ridiculous, and she can't do that anymore. And she's like, it's so
I have
much
to read
harder.
It 3 times for my $1 million a day.
Now, I'm going to ask you a stupid question.
Oh,
Ralph,
good. You know, I love your stupid questions.
But you are an actor, sort of.
Hey.
All right, you're not really an actor.
Hey!
But my question for you...
You went the wrong way. Hey.
Is this a skill that you either have or you don't, or is this something that you can learn to do, memorize large chunks of dialogue?
There are techniques you can learn to help you memorize. Absolutely. However... People like Lisa's talking about, there are people who just have a gift for it, who just have that
They're
sort
just savants.
Of
yeah.
Extraordinary retention when it comes to reading scripts. And for other people, it's always a struggle. But there are certainly techniques that they teach you that you can use to help you remember lines. But I guess if you're Nicholson and you're on the set and you find you're coming up dry and you have to be fed lines, you can't sustain any kind of performance that way if you have to keep stopping right. and asking for assistance. So, yeah.
If you want to see what that looks like, watch almost every guest host on Saturday Night Live literally reading the cue cards during the show.
Yeah.
But
you
know how
that's
bad that
different
is.
Because often on those shows and sometimes on sitcoms, they are changing the dialogue and the script literally up until the moment you're in front of the camera. So that's a little more excusable to use cue cards
right.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's only been written the day before, right?
Yeah, but a screenplay, you get it months in advance, and you get to work on it before you ever get on the set. However, it's not easy. Trust me.
Well, I'm sad if this is true, because I look forward to Jack Nicholson in every movie he's in.
Yeah, and I thought he'd be one of those guys who just worked forever, and we'd get to see, you know, really interesting
like
older
Donald Sutherland or somebody, yeah.
So, if that's the case, thanks for all the fish, Jack. Appreciate it. Speaking of acting, I'm glad you brought it up that I am an actor, Bean. That I do.
Sort of.
I am an actor extraordinaire. The show on Hulu, brand new show on Hulu called Quick Draw, which is currently on there. You can find it on Hulu.com and check it out. Very funny comedy series. Takes place in the Old West. My episode for that show just was posted on Monday of this week. So if you want to check it out.
No, it's not a horrible thing. It's a good thing.
It's a very funny episode. Quick Draw. John Lehrer, the guy who did 10 Items or Less, is the star of the show. And it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, no need to play scary music. It's not scary at all. You know, it is scary.
Right.
Bad tattoos. Bad tattoos can be
sure.
scary. This story made me laugh out loud. Hayden Panettiere learned the lesson the hard way about bad tattoos when she had an Italian phrase inked across her rib cage. Only to discover that it was all wrong.
Oh, no.
Not
what she meant to say at all.
Can we put a moratorium on anyone getting any foreign language tattoos? Because doesn't this happen more often than it turns out to be the accurate translation?
Luckily for her, she can afford the cash to have it removed, and apparently she did have it lasered off. Here's the best part. The piece, the Italian phrase that she wanted inked across her ribcage, was Live Without Regrets. She wanted that in Italian. And that there she is regretting it and have to having it removed.
Ow.
I'd love to see the photo of the faces of people the moment they find out that their tattoo is incorrect.
Yeah. I wonder what it said, really, in Italian. They don't say that here in the story, but it's like Live Without Egrets or something. And sad news for True Blood fans. Next season will be its last.
Aw, I love that show.
HBO president of programming said yesterday, it'll be hard to say goodbye to the residents of Bon Temps, but I look forward to what promises to be a fantastic final chapter.
Is it still good, Lisa?
Yeah, it's still good, but I definitely can see them winding it down. It makes sense at this point.
True Blood season finale this past Sunday pulled in 4.1 million viewers.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. So I think the ratings should be good for the final season because everybody wants to see that show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you always want to see how a show that's been on for a long time wraps up.
Absolutely. And we finally know now who will be Dancing with the Stars on that
quote
on that misnamed program.
Farrah Abrams.
I know, it's more like Nine Inch Noise.
Yeah, Nine Inch Noise will not be on.
Oh, they won't. They're not making it.
Farrah Abrams will not also either. A lot of rumors about who was going to be in the 17th season. Many of them were in fact true. Leah Remini, who has recently been in the tabloids and the headlines for her split with Scientology, she will be dancing. Snooki will be dancing. Showgirls and Saved by the Bell star Elizabeth Berkley will be dancing. 74-year-old Valerie Harper, Rhoda, of course, from the Mary Tyler Moore Show in her own series, will be dancing.
They're paying her week to week, though, right?
She's doing very well, Bean. She's been treated, and her brain cancer is almost in remission. She's doing so well. So.
But don't write her in for the finals.
Former Glee star Amber Riley, who plays Little Precious on that show. Mercedes, right? Mercedes? Was that
that's right, yes.
Yeah. How about me? Singer Christina Milian will also be dancing. Jack Osborne, Corbin Blue, Bill Nye, the science guy, who, by the way, someone sent me a very irritated email because I was mocking Bill, and I said he's going to go the way of Mike Catherwood. Mm-hmm. Turns out Bill is quite well-known on the swing dance circuit here locally in Los Angeles.
Really?
And is the derby still a thing? Is that still a thing?
I don't know if the derby's thing, around, but that kind
of
thing
if you
is...
you go to those sort of swing dance events, Bill, they're always there cutting a rug with a beaker in one hand and a Bunsen burner in the other.
No kidding.
I'd love to have Bill on, by the way. He's always a great radio guest. And let's put out the plea for him. Him and Leah Remini both. I'd like to talk to both of them.
I would, too.
Well, what about Snooki?
Yeah, how about the Snooks?
Come on.
No.
How about Bill Engvall?
No.
How about Pretty Little Liar star Brant Daugherty?
No.
Or Brant Daugherty, he or she from Pretty Little Liars will be dancing. And former NFL star Keyshawn Johnson also will be dancing.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse could not make it. She had to... She had to pass on their request. She is very busy right now.
Those NFL stars do surprisingly well on
that
show. Every year. I mean, I guess they're used to training hard and concentration and a lot of other skills that kind of go into
every time they have an athlete, they do pretty well.
Yeah. Look at the all the Olympic stars they've had that have aced it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Whitney Cummings is 31 years old today. Nayla Pekarik of the Lumineers is 27 years old. Beyonce's 32. Max Greenfield.
I'm sorry, who else did you say?
Max Greenfield from...
Ladies and gentlemen, this next man needs no introduction. Mr. Max Greenfield.
Yeah, didn't need an introduction. That's why he introduced him. Beer mug's the best. Wes Bentley's 35 years old.
Nothing?
Really? That's why you got to give me a heads up to pause or not to pause.
Sorry, nothing for Wes.
Okay. Dr. Drew Pinsky is 55.
Can you even come
He's a loser.
Oh, come on. We love Drew. And singer, director, creative mind, Liam Lynch is 43.
So later, I'm at the pool hall, and this girl comes up, and she's all like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever.
Reminds me of days back at CBGB's when I used to rock out on stage.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. And I hope that you and others will join us for an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow here on Good Old K-Rock.
Not interested.
Before you say that, let me tell you that Boss Rutten is going to be here. MMA legend Boss Rutten is going to be here in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow.
I love Moulin Rouge. He's one of my favorite directors.
Nope, that's Baz Luhrmann, completely different guy.
Gatsby was good work.
Also, the birthday boy, Dr. Drew himself, is going to be here tomorrow. We'll talk new video game releases with our friend Adam Sessler. He's on the program. We also we want to talk to people who have quit their jobs in a spectacular fashion. Mm. And there's a story in the news that's very funny that we'll tell you about tomorrow. But I have a lot of respect for people who just don't meekly, quietly clean out their desk and walk out to their car without saying anything.
Remember I quit this bitch? Remember her?
Yes, I quit this bitch. Absolute legend, right? Yes. Go ahead and make it count. Be that employee that people are still talking about in the break room 10 years from now.
The stuff of legend.
The stuff of legend.
Yeah.
Also, Ralph, tomorrow is the first day of real football. The NFL is back, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. I just posted on Twitter a video that the Eagles organization has put up. It's like,
they're already quitting?
We're back. Shut up. We're back. I mean, it's we, and every year we're together again. I'm like, I am the battered wife who keeps coming back. Yes, right. You're right. Yes, I will be there, and I'm just as pumped as I've been every season. Why does that still happen? How many times do I have to get my heart broken before I know well enough to stay away?
Yeah, you know you're still going to get hit, but you still keep coming back to make him dinner, don't you?
But I love it.
We are hoping to get on somebody from one of the Las Vegas casinos like we do from time to time and find out how we can make some money. Like, who's the big money this year? Like, who should we be betting on to make some cash this year?
San
I don't know.
Francisco.
Maybe 49ers. So. But we'll find out all of that tomorrow, plus more Xbox 360s, more Galaxy tickets, and more Wizard of Oz and IMAX 3D tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.